Heavenly Father, we come before you once again, acknowledging your presence in this place, praying that, Lord, you continue to use us, you continue to minister to us, and that by the power of your word, you may accomplish what you intend to accomplish this day, in Jesus' name. Amen. As you remain standing, please open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 17. Exodus 17, we're going to read from verse 8 to verse 16. Exodus 17, 8 to 16. The Amalekites came. Exodus is in the Old Testament. It's the second book of the Bible. The Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, "Choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands." So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning, but whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekites' army with the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Write this on a scroll as something to be remembered, and make sure that Joshua hears it, because I will completely blot out the name of the Amalek from under heaven." Moses built an altar and called it, "The Lord is my banner." He said, "Because hands were lifted up against the throne of the Lord will be at war against the Amalekites from generation to generation." This is the word of the Lord. And here at Southside Bible Fellowship, we believe that since we are God's children, and the Bible is God's word, then the Bible is God's word for us. Please be seated. We are continuing with our theme, God's revelation is our invitation. We now understand that wherever God revealed himself, that revelation was an invitation for the people to be involved. We know that in Amos chapter 3 verse 7, the Bible says that the Lord does nothing without revealing his plans and his purposes to his servants, the prophets. As a member of a Southside Bible Fellowship, if you're part of us, then by now you should understand that whenever you see God doing something, whenever God opens your eyes to something that he is doing, you should see that as an invitation for you to be involved. God does not just reveal things to us so that we can feel good about ourselves. He reveals them to invite us. So every revelation is an invitation. That means every revelation gives us an opportunity to be involved in what God is doing. When the Israelites left Egypt, they were fighting within themselves. The battles that they were waging were internal battles. They were struggling with their own unbelief. Every time they encountered a challenge, they would complain, they would grumble, because the issue was not the challenge that they were facing, the issue was their faith in the God that had delivered them from Egypt. You remember when they were standing by the seashore, the Red Sea shore, and they saw the Egyptians coming down furiously. Moses spoke and said to them, the Israelites were afraid, and Moses said, stand firm, and you will see the salvation of the Lord today. The Egyptians that you see today, you shall see them no more. The Lord will fight for you, and you will only need to stand still. Moses assured them that what you are facing, the Lord is going to face it with you. And the Israelites did not fight. The Lord fought for them. He defeated the enemy for them. And now they are on their way to the promised land. They have encountered several challenges. There's a time they needed water and the Lord provided for them. There's a time they needed food and the Lord provided manna and quail for them. The Lord kept on showing himself up because the Lord was leading them. But now, they are facing another battle. The Amalekites have sneaked in and attacked them. The Amalekites, maybe they are threatened by the large number of people, or maybe they fear that they may use their water bodies and they would starve out of that. So they are defending their territories. They attack the Israelites unaware. And Moses, realizing what's going on, this is the first time Joshua is mentioned. Moses tells Joshua, prepare the people to fight. And Aaron and I and this other guy called who or her will go to the mountain. So you are going to fight, but we are going to the mountain. We will be on the hill. We will be doing something there that will be helping you down here. So Moses and Aaron and this other guy, they go to the hill. And Joshua gathers men to face the Amalekites. And something happens here. Let me try to demonstrate this to you. Moses is holding the same staff that he used to part the Red Sea. The same staff that when the Lord called him, he had put it down and it turned into a snake. He's holding that staff with him. It's a shepherd's staff. And Moses this time is not instructed by the Lord what to do, but Moses understands what needs to be done. And so when he goes on this hill, we are told he lifts his hands and the staff up above his head towards heaven. This is a sign of surrender. Moses is sending a message to the Israelites that we can only win if we surrender to the Lord. And he is lifting his hands, holding the staff up towards heaven. And we are told, as long as he lifted his hands up, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he got tired and put it down, the Amalekites were winning. So lifting the staff up was giving victory to God's people. Putting it down was giving victory to the enemy. And Moses is a human being like us. He understands the position that he should be. We are not told what he was saying. He may have been praying. He may have been exalting the Lord, calling upon him for to defend his people. But we are told what he did. And the time came when he felt tired. He was struggling to lift the staff up. But he is getting tired and his hands would go down and his back was paining. And the Israelites were losing. Then Aaron And this other guy decided to do something. They held Moses' hands up. And then they put a stone behind him so that he could sit down. And they could hold his hands up. They are holding his hands. And as long as his hands are up, the Israelites are winning. Moses knows that victory depends on their submission to the Lord. The Amalekites may not have known, but Satan was using them to stop the children of Israel from realizing the promises that God had for them. He was using them to delay their progress, to distract them, to discourage them. The Amalekites were being used by the enemy of God's people, because it is always his desire to destroy, to discourage, to delay. It is always his desire to kill. But this battle also reflects our own spiritual battles. The battles that we face, the battles that we fight in our relationship as we follow Christ, the battles that all of us as Christians have to face. Here in our culture, in our society right now, it is no longer fashionable to stand for Christ. Being a Christian, a genuine one, will put you in trouble. If you decide to stand for Christ, you are going to have to fight. I'm not talking about a physical fight. I'm talking about a spiritual fight. If you believe that there is only one Savior, if you believe that there is only one name that anyone else can come to God through, that if you believe that Jesus is the only Savior that we have, if you believe that God is the creator of the world, that faith is going to be used against you. And most Christians have decided to be silent. They have decided to remain quiet because they are afraid of being identified with Christ, because that will mean facing some challenges in a culture that does not want to hear anything about Christ. The Israelites were facing a battle that reflects our own spiritual conflicts. In this culture, it is no longer fashionable to declare yourself as a follower of Christ. In fact, it is more popular now. You can be more popular now if you say something against the Bible than if you say something about God, something good about God. We are living in a society where it is more likely, you are more likely to have many followers on your social media when you say there is no God than when you confess your love for Christ. You are more likely to be popular when you promote same-sex marriage than when you proclaim the gospel. Your message is likely to go viral when you condemn the church than when you contend for the faith. We are living in a culture that wants to silence the voice of genuine believers. It is a culture that wants nothing to do with God. Now, if you read Matthew chapter 11, verse 12, we are told that from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been subjected to violence. And the violent people have been raiding it. I like what King James says. It says, the violent shall take it by force. Genuine Christians must be ready to fight. They must be ready to contend for the faith. They must be ready to face the enemy. As Christians, we must realize that our goal is not to be popular. We are not looking to be accepted by the world. The world never accepted Jesus Christ. It's not going to accept us if we follow Jesus Christ. And when you see the world accepting you as a Christian, there is something wrong about you. Jesus Christ told his disciples, if they have done this to me, just imagine what they can do to you. They saw him heal the sick. They saw him do all these things, and they still rejected him. The world is not going to fall in love with us. And it shouldn't be our goal to be accepted by the world. And as Christians also, it shouldn't be our goal to offend anyone. We should not have any intention to offend people. Ours is the message of salvation, and the message of salvation is enough to offend people. So we shouldn't offend them. Let the message do the work. And that's why I'm saying, like Moses, we must realize that our victory depends on our submission to the Lord. That's why I have entitled this message, "It's Time to Give Up." Moses realized that it was time to give up. He's telling Joshua, gather men, go and fight, and we are going to give up to the Lord. We are going to surrender. We are going to exalt him who has power to enable us to win the war. We are going to turn to him who can fight for us. We will still play our role, but we will play our role submitting to the Savior. This is something that as Christians we need to understand, that as a church we can only win when we submit. We must give up because our victory swings on the hinges of our submission. Our victory swings on the hinges of our submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. In James chapter 4, verse 7, the apostle says, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit yourselves then to God, and you will have the power and the confidence to resist the devil. We can only win when we submit. If we don't submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, we will be less of a church and more like a club. We will be a place where people may come and feel good, but nothing will be happening in their spiritual life. We'll be the kind of church that D.L. Moody visited when he was raising support for orphans, and he gathered a number of children and went to this wealthy church. Very nice building. And he was seated at the back with these young boys and girls, and that after the service, the elders of the church came to him and asked him, "Why did you come to this church? What made you come here?" And Moody said, "I prayed to the Lord. I asked him where to go, and he told me to come here." And the elders looked at him and told him, "Go and pray again." Please, we want you to be sure that this is the place the Lord wants you to be. So Moody went back and he prayed, and then he came back the following Sunday. And after the service, the elders came to him again and asked him, "Did you pray as we had asked you to?" And he said, "Yeah, I prayed." And what did the Lord say this time? And Moody said, "Well, the Lord said that I should not worry, because he himself has been trying to come to this church for many years, and he has never been received." If we don't submit to the Lord, we will not have a meaningful impact in our community. If we don't submit to the Lord, our spiritual progress will be delayed. If we don't submit to the Lord, we will be transferring power to the enemy. Remember when Moses' hands were high, the Israelites were winning. When they were low, the Amalekites were winning. If we don't submit, we will be transferring power to the enemy, because our victory swings on the hinges of our submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. As Christians, when we pray in submission. When we give, and let me tell you something about giving. I know we use the word donation sometimes, but when it comes to ministry, when it comes to God, giving is part of our worship. We are not donating to God. We are offering. We are worshiping. That's the attitude that we need to approach giving with. It is an act of worship. That's the biblical meaning of giving. It is not donating. You can donate to the Samaritan Purse. You can donate to the KEF 369. And you can donate to the Teen Challenge. But when it comes to this gathering, we are worshiping. We are offering ourselves to the Lord and everything else that we have. And we do that in submission. We do that because we know that we are lifting the Lord up, that we are submitting to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. When we minister to one another, we do it in submission. When you are serving in any area in this ministry, the first person that you need to think about is not the pastor, is not what will the pastor think about me. The first person you need to think about is Jesus Christ. What will Jesus think of me? How can I do my best for the one who died for me? See, if you begin to think about another person, you will be annoyed and you will stop serving because of people. And if you find yourself stopping to serve because of what people say or do, you are serving the wrong person. You are not serving the Lord. Either you are serving yourself or you are serving others. The Lord was not part of the picture. If the Lord becomes your focus, you will keep on going. You remember the story in Mark chapter 2 when the four friends carried their paralytic friend to Jesus. And they came to the door and the door was crowded. There was no way through. They could have stopped there and returned home. They could have dropped their friend there. They could have said, "We have done our best." But they did not. Instead, they went to the roof. They had to bring down the roof because they were only focused on bringing their friend to Jesus. When Jesus becomes your focus, nothing will stop you. I believe that God has called me to preach. And when that was made clear to me, I decided to submit to that. And to tell you the truth, nothing will stop me from preaching. I will keep on preaching. One day I will not be here, but I believe I'll be preaching where I will be. I can't see myself living any other life without preaching because that's what God has called me to do. Nothing will stop me. What is it that stops you? Who are the Amalekites in your life that you are allowing to win? To whom are you surrendering to? Now, there's this old hymn that says, "All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will love and..." Okay. "All to Jesus I surrender." That is an attitude of someone that recognizes that without Christ, I cannot win. Without Christ, I cannot succeed. And because Christ makes me succeed, I am going to submit to Him. And if we can learn to submit to Jesus Christ, we will be able to stand against anyone and against anything. The only thing that will make us weak, the only thing that will transfer power to the enemy, is when we fail to submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. It should be our attitude to say, "I am doing this for my love of Jesus Christ, for the love of God. I'm doing this. The reason I am serving you is because I love Jesus." And if we love Jesus, we will love our neighbors. We struggle to love others because there is a love problem with Jesus Christ. We must give up to the Lord because our victory swings on the hinges of our submission to the Lord. As a church, we can only be victorious when we submit. We can have the best programs. We can have all the programs that they advertise as a church. You come here and you get into this, and it's a busy church because we have the best programs. We can have the best music. And thank you, Jeremy and Anita, for leading us here. And you have wonderful voices, and I see you genuinely worship. But we can have the best music here. You can come and be wowed by the music, the lights, and the everything. And you just enter in and you can feel yourself bumping because we have the best music. We can have a nice building. But with all these things, if we don't surrender to the Lord, if we don't submit to the Lordship of Jesus, it will just be a show. Now, this is not a reason for us not to have good music, good singing. It's not a reason. It's not a reason for us not to have good programs. But everything that we do has to be done under the submission of Jesus Christ. Because that's the only time we are going to experience victory. There are people among us that need our help. They need our encouragement. They need our support. There are people among us that at times during the week, they stay close to their phones, hoping that someone will call, and no one does. It's a battle as Christians we have to fight. We haven't been as effective as we should be as Christians. If we really need to have a meaningful impact in this community, we cannot avoid to submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ because everything begins there. I'm reminded of this old lady, a widow, actually. I visited her. 2 years ago, she was around 85 years. Her husband had died. I was at her house. She expressed how lonely she has been. She cannot drive. Sometimes someone would pop in from the church to give her a ride. Weeks will go on, no one showing up. No one calls. And I'm seated there. She showed me the pictures of her husband. He was in the army. And she's telling me sometimes I talk to him here. Because she showed me a seat. Says this is where he used to sit. And sometimes I sit here and I talk to him. I know he's dead, but I can feel his presence here. He is the only person that can listen to me. She said, I've been part of that church for many years. My husband was very committed there. We devoted ourselves for that church. We gave our time. I taught Sunday school for children. I taught adults. I volunteered for this and this. She narrated her life story and the relationship that she had with that church. But the same church now doesn't care about her. And as she said that, I just couldn't resist tears coming out of my eyes. She says, sometimes I sit here just hoping that someone will call and no one does. At times I would start and stand and look through the window hoping that I will see someone coming to visit me, but no one does. And then she said something that caught my attention. She said, I think if I was a dog, people would love me. There are people among us that are lonely, that are dying slowly. There are people among us that will need encouragement, they will need advice. They're struggling with issues of life. And you and I are the people that God can use in their lives. See, as Christians, we must realize that we have a part to play in God's kingdom. Regardless of who you are, regardless of where you are coming from, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you have a part to play in his kingdom. You may not be a preacher, you may not be a singer, but there is always something that you can do in that kingdom. You may be a prayer warrior, or you may just be that one person who shows up. You don't even have words to say, but you are always there. You are always available. We all have a part to play. And if this church is going to be the kind of church that God wants us to be, we all must play our roles in submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I strongly believe that we can be a church where anyone who visits, they will feel the difference. They will come in and they will say, there is something different about this place. I can feel the presence of God here. It's not the music, it's not the prayer, it's not the preaching. There's just something different. Because if we submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, we are going to win, guys. And my encouragement to each one of us is, take a pause and ask yourself. And Moses was not a fighter. He was not a fighter. He tried. There's a day he tried and he failed. He had to run away. He understands that I have not been called to do this, but I have a role to play in this battle. There is something that I can do, and on behalf of the nation, I'm going to submit to the Lord. Joshua is a fighter, and Moses understands that, and he tells him, go, gather people, face the Amalekites. As you fight, I will be surrendering, and we will be winning. We have a role to play. You have a part to play, and you need to pause and ask yourself, what is my part, Lord, in your kingdom? What is it that you want me to be part of, that you want me to do, so that as a church family, we can experience the victory that is ours in you? That is my challenge to you. Because as long as you belong to God, you have a role to play. Doesn't matter how young you are. Doesn't matter how old you are. So don't look at yourself and say, oh, I'm too young for that. I'm sure he's talking to the likes of Miles and so and so. Don't let the enemy lie to you. Okay, Wilji? It doesn't matter how young you are. The Lord can still use you. It doesn't matter how old you are. Don't look at yourself and say, oh, that is past. I used to do that when I was young, but now I'm old. No! You see, God doesn't get old. And God is able to use each one of us. For us to be able to say that the Lord is our banner, Jehovah Nissi, He is the one that gives us victory. God tells Moses to write down, to build an altar and make sure you write down so that Joshua may remember, because Joshua is the one who is going to take the leadership from Moses. He's the one who is going to lead the children of Israel to the promised land, and he needs to remember. He will need to remember that the Lord is the one that gives us victory. He will need to remember that. He will need to remember that our victory swings on the hinges of our submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. He will need to remember that we can only win when we submit. We cannot say that the Lord is our victory, the Lord is our banner, the Lord, Jehovah, Nisi. We cannot say that confidently unless we submit to Him. And if there is any struggle that Christians are going through today, is the struggle to submit. So just take a pause and ask yourself, everything you do in God's kingdom, if there is something that you do, do you do it in submission? Because if you do, nothing will stop you. You will face challenges. You will be tempted to want to give up. But if the Lord is your focus, my friend, you will keep on going. You will fall down, you will stand up, and you will keep on running until the day comes when we gather together here and say, our brother Valerian fought a good fight and finished the race. You will keep on going on. And if you are listening to us, or if you are here and the Lord is not your Savior, you have not submitted to Jesus Christ to be forgiven and to be saved, you have a chance to do that. Just by dying on the cross, Jesus was submitting to the Father. In fact, before the cross, He prayed. He said, if it is my will, let this cup be taken from me. But not my will, but your will be done. He submitted to the Father. If Jesus is not yet your Savior, you need to submit today. Turn to Him and tell Him, Lord, I am a sinner. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. Please forgive me and save me. He promises, if you pray from your heart, if you genuinely submit to Him, He promises to forgive you, to save you, to receive you, and you are going to be part of God's family. And instead of transferring power to the enemy, you will be submitting to the Lord and experiencing His victory. For those of us that are believers, those of us that are saved, take a pause and ask yourself, what is my part in God's kingdom? What is it that God wants me to do in His kingdom? And if you are a member of this church, your focus should be this church. This church is here to play a part in God's kingdom in this community. That should be the question that you should be asking yourself. Because our victory swings on the hinges of our submission to the Lord. Pray with me. Father, I thank you again for your love for me and for this church and for each one of us. I thank you for moments like this that you allow us to hear from you, that you allow your word to speak to us. You are a faithful God. You see us. You see us in our weaknesses and you still accept us. You give us opportunities after opportunities to follow you, to serve you, to worship you. And Father, I believe that you have a reason for having us here in this church. I believe that, Lord, there is something that you want to accomplish in this community and you want to use us. Each one of us, Lord, the young and the old, the weak and the strong, I pray that you may open our eyes to those opportunities, that you may open our eyes to the roles that we need to play. That you may open our eyes, Lord, to those privileges that you've given us in your kingdom. And through it all, you may be glorified. I also pray for those among us that are experiencing difficulties. You know them, Lord. And they may not be ready to share it with us, but there's a way you can make us notice them. May you do so in your own way, so that, Lord, we may be part of what you are doing in their lives. For the sake of the leaders of SBF and everyone else who serves in one area or another, I pray that your Holy Spirit may continue to fill them and to use them for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, may everyone say, Amen. Amen. Thank you.